Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, and once again to another episode, another show, the RF Sports Radio Show. I'm your host, RF. It is Thursday, October the 11th, 2010, 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we're back with another live show. You guys that have been following the show, you know we're on live every Tuesday and Thursday night from 9:30 to 11. And, of course, on Thursday is one of our biggest shows where we do our picks for the NFL weekend. We get into all the sports stories, cover the injuries coming up, all the stories that broke since the last time we were on Tuesday. So it's going to be a great show. This is going to be a real special show, number one, because today is, of course, Veterans Day. So we'll definitely let all the veterans know you're more than welcome to call in and definitely give your experience about your veteran status as far as what you did in the military. We're more than welcome you guys calling in today. The number, again, as always, is 323-927-2906. That's 323-927-2906. So let's definitely get the show started. We're going to get into a lot of new information on this Thursday. We're going to have a special guest joining us as well, Bill Ingram from HoopsWorld.com. You guys might have heard him contribute to ESPN before. He's going to get into a lot of NBA talk and, of course, talk a lot about the Mavericks. And, of course, his Houston Rockets. We'll get into that as well, too. But without further ado, let's get the show started. Let me bring on my co-host real quick. Royce, you're live on with us. Anything you want to say? You want to say hello to everyone?
Hey, right now, how you doing? Hello, fans out there. How's everybody doing today? And I'm glad you brought up today is Veterans Day, and I'd like to honor these guys. They, you know, you guys have a thankless job. And without you, we wouldn't have the show. A lot of things wouldn't be possible. And you all are doing a great job. Keep it up. And in saying that, I'd like to hear from some of them today. I'd like for them to call in. And we'd like to hear their comments on the show. But, you know, it reminds me of a story, Rodney. Back in 1971, it was a young medic in Vietnam, lost both his legs. And, you know, after losing your legs, you think your life's pretty much over. It wasn't a whole lot to do as far as sports concerned. So when he was 40 years old, he went to a golf shop to buy a gift for a friend of his. For a birthday present. Well, lo and behold, when he was in the golf shop, this guy was trying out this driver. And he said, you know, can I see it? He put it in his hands, he tried it out. And he went and tried and hit the driver. And lo and behold, he hit it 250 yards. He said he must have hit it right because he hit it solid. You know, 250-yard drive is not bad for somebody just picking up a golf club. Well, after that, it kind of inspired him to play golf. A little bit. He, you know, he went on to shoot a par on the regular golf course, which is hard to do. You and I play golf. You know how hard that is.
Right.
He's had a hole in one, and he's invented this chair for a handicap where they can stabilize the chair and they can play around the golf. You know, I thought that was a very interesting story. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I like about sports because it really, you know, you hear all the bad stuff about it. And you hear all the good stuff about it. You know, and that's why I like doing this show, because it does inspire me. You know, sports is, you know, it can be a good, real good medicine for you, you know.
Right.
And I encourage you guys to take up some kind of game, especially golf. It's so relaxing, you know. But I like to honor these guys, and I want all our fans Sunday, when you're watching a football game or whether it's a basketball game, when they do the national anthem this weekend, we're going to do that this Sunday. But when they do, in honor of the vets, we're all going to stand up, you know, and give our homage to our veterans. So I just wanted to say that today. But it's a big week for sports right now. So I'm ready whenever you are. Let's get it on.
Yeah, I'm ready. And that was well said. Thank you for saying that. Very well said. We do want to thank all our veterans for their military service, first and foremost, for doing something that some of us did not do, and that's serving for our country. And we not only stand on Sunday, we should stand all the time, you know.
I'm at
the games a lot, and a lot of times you have to give them their just due, because that flag that you're saluting is the same flag they're over there fighting for. So I agree with you.
And you know what? And you know what's so funny? They did a show from ESPN today from one over in Germany, I think, broadcast live, and they asked the guys, what is sports done for them and what they like about sports. And the first guy that spoke said anything, he said it was watching the Cowboys lose Sunday after Sunday. I think he gets a big thrill out of that. So I don't think he was a Cowboy fan, but he said that's been the biggest thrill since he's been over there, and having to watch sports on Sunday is watching the Cowboys lose Sunday after Sunday. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Wow, that's good. Now, we want to remind everyone, if you're listening live, of course, you're more than welcome to call in at any time, give your comments and stuff about the show at 323-927-2906. Our chat room is now open, so you guys are more than welcome to join the chat room. Just go to blogtalkradio.com/RFSports. You guys can join the chat room, discuss with some of our listeners some of your ideas, your opinions on sports. The chat room is always buzzing. We get a lot of questions from the chat room as well, too. So we definitely want to welcome you guys to do that. And, of course, you can follow our blog, as always, at rsportsradio.blogspot.com. Just to recap, on Tuesday's show, we had a great show. We had some special guests on, Casey Millen from 1310, The Ticket. And I didn't get a chance to really plug exactly what how you can find him, but he's usually there on the weekends. But he's new to the Ticket, not new to sports. He's been around for a long time. So you guys definitely keep Casey in mind when you're listening to 1310 The Ticket, because he's very, very knowledgeable. If you guys haven't heard the show on Tuesday, do go back and listen to Tuesday's show. We also had Gordon Jackson from the Dallas Weekly on. He had some very, very good comments about the Cowboys. And the whole show Tuesday, Royce, was about the Cowboys. It was about Wade Phillips getting fired, Jason Garrett getting hired. There was a whole basis of the show. It took up over an hour and a half. We discussed exactly what we thought got Wade fired, why Jason Garrett got hired. So to recap on that, we talked about mainly being the defensive play, what got Wade fired. And Jason Garrett is tasked with the job to come in and change not only the team that's 1-7, but change the culture of the team. And that's what's going to be the hard part about it. But, you know, as I thought about that after that conversation on Tuesday, I went back and listened to Tuesday's show, I'm kind of coming around to the realization, and maybe that's just a Cowboy homer in me, but I'm coming around to the realization that maybe Jason Garrett does deserve this job next year. Because if you think about it, he's in a no-win situation right now. Even if he wins 8 games, which is, you know, nothing right now we've seen could say that they have a chance to win 8 games. But even if he does, he's got to change roster. He's got to put certain players in position. And this is really like a preseason for him, you know, if he really goes into next season with a chance to bring in new players, other guys that fit the system the way he wants to fit it. So maybe he deserves a chance to kind of to coach his team next season, even if they don't win 8 straight games.
Well, Rodney, you're absolutely right. But one thing I do learn, and you need to listen to this very carefully, also the players. It don't matter what coach you have or what team you play for. You playing for the name on the back of your jersey. So if the players will step up and you know, show the pride and play for themselves, you know what I mean, for the pride of the game, because you are representing whoever's name's on the back of that jersey. So if these guys get that lesson, you know, and they can turn the season around and save it. But like I said, it don't matter who coaches. You're all playing for what name is on the back of your jersey. So with that said, I don't know what the chemistry is between the team and Jason Garrett, you know, whether he was part of the problem or not. But, you know, this is kind of like a clean slate. Jerry Reed did say, well, you know, if the coach is the problem or whatever the problem is, I got to weed out something. So he sent a message to the players. You know, it's not about the coach, it's about you. So what are you going to do? What are you as players going to do?
I'm interested
to see how the rest of this season goes. You know, guys, show some pride, you know what I mean, in the city, you know what I mean, in your team, and in yourself, you know what I mean? Step up and play better. Make, you know, you can turn this around. If they go 8, I think he does deserve the job. You know, so we'll see. And it's going to be interesting to see. But I don't think they're going to win Sunday. We'll see. The Giants are going to be gunning for the Dallas. You know how hard they play Dallas. They don't care if they win any more games as long as they beat the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and you know, we're going to, as you guys know, with Thursday's show is our world famous pick show, so we do get a chance to pick that game and give a lot more analysis about that game as well, too, and other NFL games as well. Just don't forget, today on the program, we're going to have another special guest. We should be joined by Bill Ingram of HoopsWorld.com. We're going to talk a lot of NBA action, especially about the Mavs and stuff as well. So you guys definitely stay tuned for that. But just touching on that real quick, you know, we've had a chance to kind of hear some comments from the players since Tuesday's show. And Dez Bryant actually met a reporter in the hallways at Valley Ranch and made a comment to say that he does see a difference. It's more of a about business type deal. It's more about, you know, it's straight black and white with Jason Garrett. There's no gray area with Jason Garrett. He's even cut out some stuff during the lunch period. He's not letting these guys play dominoes during lunch anymore. He's making sure guys are going into the film room. And the way he conducts his press conferences is even different. We're used to seeing Wade Phillips sitting at a table, being very, very relaxed, you know, answering questions. But Jason Garrett is standing up. He's almost on the podium, you know, just giving his answers in a direct manner. In a stern manner. Now, I don't know if that's just a product of us watching Wade for so long and his demeanor, or is Jason Garrett really that guy that we're looking for, that disciplinarian, that guy to keep people on track? Even some of the players have said it's been a little bit different. But me and you talked about how does the defense react at this point? You know, defense has even said some things about they feel like the offense should run the ball more. They feel like they're not – the offense is not keeping them off the field long enough to get rested, things of that nature. So how do they feel now that the offensive coordinator is the head coach? I mean, what do you think? What do you think these guys are thinking?
I think these guys are going to have to step it up because Wade Phillips, you know, in the past, if you look at his record, he's very good with defense. You know, he made his reputation on coaching defense. And he has to have something in place already. These guys just have to go out and execute. You know what I mean? You have to get a pass rush. These defensive backs got to tighten it down. These linebackers got to do their job. But like I said, I don't know what the atmosphere was at Valley Ranch. I don't know if Wade Phillips was a leader. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what was going on. But the defense is in place. All they have to do is just go out and play. You know, play like your life depending on it. And really, your job depends on it. So.
Right.
I think it's going to be a good evaluation for not only Jason Garrett, but the owner, Jerry Jones, to see who's going to be there next year, who's going to weed out, who's going to get the big money. You know, plus, I don't see anybody getting the bonus other than Dez Bryant. He's been the best player out there.
Right.
But, you know, you know how the NFL works. You can be a star one year and you can be cut next year. There's a whole lot of every year there are good players out looking for teams, you know what I mean, that's been cut. So they just have to go out and execute.
And speaking of Jerry Jones, we find out on Wednesday, you would think he'd be in Valley Ranch, you know, working with Jason Garrett. We find out Wednesday he was in Vegas.
you know, something else different. They practice in full pads, too, this week.
Right.
That's something they don't normally do, yeah. So.
Right.
They should have been doing that all along. I mean, I didn't even see that in training camp, you know. Yeah, so it's definitely a different atmosphere around it.
Right,
What's going to happen on Sunday? That's the big deal. What's going to happen on Sunday? You know, even for them to play good and lose or make it a close game or make it just competitive, you know what I mean? Don't go out there and get blowed out. Make it competitive. Even if you do lose, make it a good team effort. And I think people respect them a lot more. So it'd be interesting to see what Sunday brings. I can't wait.
I agree. It's gonna be, and they're playing a team that's no pushover team.
Oh, yeah.
It's the best team in their division, and people are talking about them being the best team in the NFC right now.
Right,
it's not a
pushover
team by no stretch of the imagination, no whatsoever.
Right.
Not a pushover team as well. But as you guys know, on Thursday, this is our huge pick show where we do our picks. We'll be joined by Rick, of course. He picks with us all the time. Rick won again last week by one game.
He's been so lucky. He's lucky.
He won by one game last week, so we get a chance to get some redemption on our side, Royce, this time. And we want to remind everyone if you guys want to stay in contact with the show, you can always go to our blog, rsportsradio.blogspot.com. And we've been doing some live blogging from the Mavs games, and actually tomorrow night we'll be doing some live blogging from the 76ers game. They come to town to play the Mavs, and the Mavs have been looking pretty good. We'll get into a lot of that talk on the program today as well, too. One other story I want to touch on real quick before we get into the NBA talk is there's another local story that I'm keeping my eye on right now, too, and other sports fans should be as well. And that's the story with Cliff Lee. Now, the Yankees have already been in contact with Cliff. And I found this, you know, I knew this was going to happen, but now, this is, now that it is happening, we got to talk about it at this point. And me and you talked about before that if he doesn't sign back with the Rangers, which I don't know why he wouldn't, he's going to sign with a team like the Yankees. So the story today, and I'll read this from the USA Today. USA Today has got this on the front page of the sports section. But the Yankees have actually met with Cliff Lee. General Manager Brian Cashman traveled to Arkansas on Wednesday and met with Cliff Lee. And they had an arrangement with his agent was there. They also met with his wife as well, which I knew they owed her an apology for the way they treated her during the playoffs. That had to be.
And
they did say an offer was made, but I saw in the local news yesterday that he's talking about 7 years, $160
million. I hate.
Yeah, so that's like the starting point right there. But let me ask you, Royce, what do you think of what Cliff is going to do? You think we're going to have him in the Ranger uniform next year, or is he going to go to the Evil Empire?
I tell you what, I'd like to be in Cliff Lee's shoes if you're going to ask for that much. You know, I'd like for him to stay with the Rangers, you know, and I don't know if his, you know, anywhere he goes, he's going to be rich. Even if he stays here, he's going to be rich. And I don't know if I want to play with the Yankees after they treated my family, you know, from what I understand of the game, they spit on her. They heckle her, you know, during the game. Imagine, you know, New York is this crew. Imagine if he goes up there and have a bad game. I mean, he's going to be the talk of the town. You know, he's going to boo him. Whereas if he stayed in Texas, he has a chance of repeating. You know, it's a young team. They're on the way up. I think the Yankees are on their way down. So I don't know. It's a big decision. I don't know if the Rangers can even match that type of money. You know, but I like for him to stay. I think his wife likes it there. So, but that's, I wish I was in his shoes. I mean, that's a lot of money. And he can ask for it. You know, his baseball salaries are just out of the clouds, you know. So, that's a lot of money. I'd like for him to stay here in Dallas, though. I think he'd be better off in Dallas.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. Now, let me ask you this.
Do you think his stock went down some?
You know, that's what I was going to ask you about, because Cliff Lee was such a he was almost like a superhero, invincible.
Right.
Everybody talked about how, you know, he can't be beat in the playoffs, things of that nature. And then lo and behold, he gets beat twice during the World Series, in the biggest series for the Rangers. But the thing is, I don't think it really hurt his stock that much, because he's still the best free agent pitcher as of right now that's available. And teams like the Yankees, they that's what they do. They build free agent pitchers up. So that's exactly what they do.
And they buy championships. So money, you know, the money is no object for them. So they do buy championships. So, but to me personally, I don't know if I'm being biased because I am a Ranger fan and I got excited this season. But I'd like for him to stay. And like I said, when they played San Francisco, they were such a good team, you know, a dominant team, that whoever they played is going to be hard to beat. But I really like for him to stay. You know, it's going to be interesting to watch this story develop over the summer and see exactly where he goes. I don't think we'll burn his jersey if he left Dallas like they did in Cleveland, but I hope he stays. I really do.
Yeah. I agree with you on that. I hope he stays, too. I think he's such a good fit for this team because they're so young. You know, he can grow with this team and teach this team a few things and show them some stuff. So I hope he really stays with the team. I really do.
And that may bring some other good players to Dallas, you know, by him being here. You know, who else would want to play with Cliff Lee, you know? So it may draw another big name. players want to come to Dallas. So we'll see. You know, a lot of them don't want to come to Dallas because of the weather or the team was losing so much. But right now, they're pretty hot. They're in the top five as far as hottest teams right now. So we'll see. It'll be interesting. We're going to follow this story all summer, see where it goes.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Of course, as you guys know, we're going to have a special guest on with us. We're going to be joined by Bill Ingram from HoopsWorld.com. We're going to talk a lot of NBA talk, a lot about the Mavs. Let's see if we can bring Bill on real quick here. Make sure I got Bill on the program. Let's see here. And, Bill, you're live on the RF Sports Radio Show. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. Can you hear me?
Good. I got you live. I got you on.
Hello, Bill. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Good. Fine. Now, while I have you on, I want to ask you just a few questions real quick about the Mavs, first of all. Now, I know you cover a lot of NBA teams. I know you cover several different teams in the NBA, especially I know your hometown Rockets. I know you cover them to the T. But from what you've seen from the Mavs this year, how do you feel about the way they're working it as far as having Tyson Chandler back in there, well, in their lineup now as a new player? Do you feel like he's a good fit? Do you see a lot of difference between having him versus Dampier in the game?
Well, I think that's one of the areas where the Mavs are counting on being better this year is the fact that you have taken away Eric Dampier, who was Mr. Brick Hands, a good defender, but was not capable of doing anything with the basketball, not particularly good at, the lob passes and the kind of things that Jason Kidd is very capable of doing. And Tyson Chandler, on the other hand, is much better. Not that he's going to put the ball on the floor and make a move particularly, but he's very capable of catching passes above the rim, throwing those down. You know, he's a little better around the basket. Younger, of course, and a better defender than Damp, a little more versatile of a player overall. So I think that's, when you talk about why would the Mavs be better this year than last year, that's the primary thing they point to. That and Roddy Bobois, which he's been injured and we haven't seen him. He got injured playing for France, training for the World Championships this summer. So that's really their two paths to improvement when you look at, basically the same roster returning from last year. Why do you expect better? And those are the two reasons, the upgrade at center and the progress that they expect Roddy Bobois to make in his second year in the league.
Now, you brought up a good point about Roddy Bobois, because this is a player I watched last year, and Russ, I know you watched him too, and the biggest question for us and everyone I talked to was the fact that, Coach Carlisle took him out during that San Antonio series last playoffs, and he was one of the guys that kind of kept him in the series. He had a great game, and we didn't see him again until maybe 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter, in the game that took
the last game, yep.
Right. So do you think that Coach has learned his lesson? Do you think he's got this thing about young players? I noticed he's giving Dominique Jones a little more time than he gave Roddy Bobois at the beginning of last season when he was a rookie. But you think Coach Carlisle has learned his lesson? Will he play Roddy more?
Carlisle's been a coach in the NBA for a long time, and he's never been one to play rookies and young players very much. And, yeah, we've seen Dominic a few minutes here and there. The problem with Rick, when you talk to the players themselves, it's that no one really understands his rotation. I don't think Rick understands his rotation. It's very much based on situational dynamics. He just makes an arbitrary decision on the fly. Sometimes that's about who's in the starting lineup, as happened the other night. They started Deshaun Stevenson kind of at the last minute against the Celtics. The Roddy Bobois thing was very puzzling to me. The one thing that's missing from the Mavericks' offense is unpredictability, because they're very good transition team. When they're on the, that's where Jason Kidd is at his best, creating on the break. But if you can get the Mavs into a half-court game, they're very predictable. They're going to either go to Dirk or Jet, and one of those two guys is going to have to just create something out of thin air. Dirk is very, very good at it, and Jet's one of the clutchest players in the league. Those two guys created a victory over Boston the other night because you had Dirk make just a couple of impossible moves to the basket, scoring over three people on back-to-back possessions, and the Celtics had a lapse defensively, left Jason Terry wide open for three, and when the game's on the line, he's going to nail those, and he did. But that's not a formula to win consistently. Certainly not a formula. You're not going to do that to win a playoff series, as Greg Popovich showed us last year with the Spurs. But if you can put Bobois in there, somebody who's so quick and can make lightning fast adjustments off the fly. That's the kind of thing that the Mavericks offense misses. And as you saw, as Mavs fans saw that were wanting to see more of Roddy, that's something he can bring. And so that's what we're hoping. Once he gets the ankle right, and he tells me he's still weeks away, but once he gets right, the hope is that he can bring that element of unpredictability that the Mavs offense so desperately needs.
Yeah. And matter of fact, in the Denver Nugget game, when the locker room had a chance to talk to Roddy, and I asked him specifically, when can we expect to see him in uniform? He says meeting with the doctor week to week, but he doesn't have a timetable at this point, and I don't see him rushing him back right now either. But that brings up another question I have for you, is the fact that Dirk is still doing what Dirk does. He's still, in that 30-point-a-night range. He's still the clutch player. But on this team, who is the number two guy? Is it Caron Butler? Is it Jason Terry? Or is it
absolutely Jet,
the number two every night?
It's absolutely Jet. The question with the Mavs is not who the number two guy is, because Dirk and Jet are there every night.
Right.
Jet has an off game once in a while. I'll be honestly, when teams decide, as the Denver Nuggets did in that game that you talk about, they decided in the fourth quarter that they were going to stop Jason Terry and dare someone else to beat them, and no one else beat them, and that's why there was that huge comeback win for the Nuggets, who were missing three of their top six players, out of their rotation, and still won. And that's what it is. The question is never who the number two guy is going to be, because it's going to be Dirk and Jet night after night. But they need someone else to step up consistently. We saw Sean Marion have a great game in Memphis, and that helped them immensely. Sometimes it is Caron Butler, but it's never the same guy consistently.
JJ has
had two straight good games. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's JJ, but not every night.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah,
when you look at the elite teams, the elite teams have a consistent number three guy, not just a top two, but a consistent number three. All the elite teams have a number three guy who's every night going to be consistently there to help win the games when it's time to win.
Okay, we know this team is a 50-win team. We know that's almost automatic for the Mavericks. Do you see them going any further this year with the West being as good as it is?
That's a tough call. I think that all depends on Roddy Bobois. It depends on that element of unpredictability, because when you look at what so many teams in the West have quick guards that can create something out of nothing. And whether you're talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder, where Russell Westbrook has taken a quantum leap forward this season, not surprisingly, when you talk about, of course, the Lakers are the exception to this, because Derek Fisher doesn't have to be quick. He beats you in so many ways. But Steve Blake has already paid huge dividends for that team. But you could meet the Houston Rockets in the first round, and they've got Aaron Brooks and Courtney Lee and Kevin Martin. You could meet San Antonio with George Hill and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili. We already know how that series comes out. Many teams have the small, quick lineups to throw at you. And if you don't have the ability to answer that, you're going to have problems, and Greg Popovich exposed that. Jason Kidd is very slow of foot. Jason Terry is not a lockdown defender. He's not particularly quick, though he is clutch. But neither of those guys is quick-footed. Neither of those guys is going to get in the way of, a team that puts two small guards on the line and runs them at you and runs them off screen. And that's where the Mavs are going to struggle. And in a seven-game series, the opposing coach is going to know that, and he's going to be ready to test you in that way. And I really have a hard time seeing this Mavericks team beat a team like a San Antonio or possibly a Houston if they get their front court together and Yao can get back and they can start winning. Or even, like I say, Oklahoma City, the teams that have small guys that they can just swarm around, the Mavericks are going to have a hard time stopping that consistently.
Now, you mentioned that every team needs not just a two but a three, so let's get into a little bit about the big three. Down in Miami with the Heat. Now, they're getting ready to lose another game. I'm watching this game with them in Boston now, and it was really a lot worse than it is right now. They're down by 5 or 10 seconds ago at this point, but it was even worse than that. And that's going to drop them down to what? That's 5-4 now, and third place pretty much in the Southeast Division right now. So, what's going on with this team? You mentioned quick guards. I saw Chris Paul dismantle them. Already in the season. They can't beat Boston.
They're fast. Yeah, that's a team. Yeah, Right. So, I mean, they're going to have trouble beating New Orleans for that exact reason. Yes.
Right.
The problem with Miami is, you're right, they have the big three. Although I've never been convinced that Chris Bosh is the star that everyone makes him out to be. I mean, frankly, there are so many power forwards better than him, starting with Dirk, Pau Gasol, Al Jefferson. There are a number of power forwards. He got a lot of hype. And also, you know, I kept thinking I'd rather have David Lee than Chris Bosh, quite frankly. And that was, the Knicks were talking to the Raptors, and Brian Colangelo wouldn't pull the trigger on that. And I thought, you know, I'd rather have David Lee. He's going to give you the same or better numbers. He's going to be more consistent. He's going to play through injuries. And that's what Miami fans are seeing now. Oh, it's, you know, Dwayne Wade's giving them 30 points, 30-plus points, and LeBron had his triple-double the other night. But Chris Bosh is not a superstar. He's a very good player. He is not a superstar. That concept that you could have three superstars on a team and then the rest of the team doesn't matter might work if it was Amari Stoudemire instead of Chris Bosh. Yeah. That might work. If it was Pau Gasol, if it was Dirk, maybe that would work. But what they have are two superstars and one guy who's pretty good, and then they don't have much beyond that. I mean, Mario Chalmers, you know, he's even in and out of the lineup. They're not even sure he can start or even play a role. Carlos Arroyo is certainly not an elite point guard. Mike Miller's a very good player. Of course, he's hurt, and that hurts them. But the bottom line is, after Bosh, LeBron, and D-Wade, who is it? I mean, what else do they have on that team? Joel Anthony is not exactly inspiring fear in the hearts of opponents. And Big Z, of course, is getting towards the end of his career. And so, yeah, I think there was this concept, and ESPN bet heavily that this would be the case. They deployed an entire group. They bought contracts of beat writers from Cleveland, you know, Brian Windhorst and the guys from around the country, just to cover 24/7, 365 coverage of the Miami Heat.
Wow.
And I thought, you know, they haven't even played a game yet. You can't just roll the ball out and expect three guys to beat five night after night. They're going to beat most teams, but they're not going to beat the Bostons. They gave Orlando a nice wake-up call, but they're not going to beat Orlando the next time out automatically. This is going to be their second loss to Boston. They're not going to beat the Lakers. They're not going to beat, you know, maybe even a Dallas team. It just depends. The top teams in the league that can answer those three guys that have more depth, they're going to give Miami a lot of problems. So this concept that the Heat can sign three big-name players and win, you know, there were predictions like they were going to beat the Chicago Bulls record with Michael Jordan. And I thought, wow, you guys really – Dwayne Wade is every bit as good as that type deserves. LeBron James is more likely to turn the ball over in the fourth quarter than he is to make a big play. And Chris Bosh is not a big game player. He never has been. So I think it was unrealistic. You know, are they a very, very good team? Are they going to be better as the season moves along? Of course. As those three guys get more familiar and the role players start to step up, yes, they're going to be better than they are right now. But the idea that they could win 70 games and just walk to the championship, That's completely unrealistic. Boston is the team to beat in the East. The Lakers are the team to beat in the NBA. The Lakers are undefeated, and Boston's playing well despite the fact that they're missing. You know, Shaq has been out. Jermaine O'Neal only played 6 minutes in Dallas. He had the injury. You know, and of course, Kendrick Perkins. So, yeah, Miami's going to be fine. They're going to be a playoff team. They're going to get out of the first round, second round, maybe make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. But it's way too optimistic to just assume that they're going to win the Eastern Conference or even the NBA Finals, because there are some very formidable opponents in their way, most of which is the undefeated defending champion in Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah. And we want to remind everyone, we do have Bill Ingram live on the program with us tonight. He's with HoopsWorld.com. You guys can log on to HoopsWorld.com and get your NBA fix, your basketball fix. It's a great website, a lot of information, a lot of great articles, up-to-the-minute stuff. So do log on to hoopsworld.com and check out a lot of the articles. I know, Bill, I know you're on there all the time, so definitely check him out. Before we let you go off the program, I do want to ask you.
Go ahead. Hoopsworld, our goal is not to just cover the Lakers and the Heat and the Celtics and the Magic.
Right.
You know, our goal, we're going to talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves. We're going to talk about the Memphis Grizzlies. We're going to talk about the Dallas Mavericks, the Houston Rockets, the Spurs, every team in the league as our equal attention, more so than just the top two or three teams, the top two or three players. Yes, we'll talk about LeBron. We're also going to talk about Kevin Love. We're also going to talk about Michael Beasley's return. You know, these there are lots of interesting stories around the NBA, and we understand that that's 30 teams and not just three or four.
Yeah, that's a huge point. Because a lot of times we get calls from people from all across the country. They want to see people talk about more about their local teams. And if you want to get that done, the best option right now is hoopsworld.com. To me personally, I think they cover every particular thing. But while we have you on, now you mentioned the Lakers being undefeated. There's another undefeated team in the NBA too, and that's the New Orleans Hornets, the team that's in the Mavericks division. I mean, we talked about Chris Paul maybe not making it the full season, getting traded, although he had 2 years left on the deal. I mean, yeah. is this a sign that Chris Paul may be a New Orleans Hornet for a while, or what do you think?
Chris Paul doesn't want to be anywhere else. He loves playing for New Orleans. He loves the team. And I'll tell you what, Monty Williams has become his new best friend. When you see
right.
Chris Paul talk about his new head coach, his face glows. And you
right.
see it, the entire team. They've bought in. I mean, normally when there's a new head coach, like with the Clippers, with Vinny D, even Tom Thibodeau with the Bulls, of course, they're missing Boozer. That hurts. But when there's a new head coach, normally it takes a few weeks into the regular season before the coach and the team get on the same page. But Monty Williams, you know, give this guy credit. He walked into the building, immediately gained the trust of the superstar, and everybody else just followed right along and got on board. The other thing, when you look at the New Orleans Hornets, and people are surprised that they're 6-0, and it's not that they've had a soft schedule. They've beaten some people. People forget how good Chris Paul is when he's healthy. You know, last year he was injured, came back, wasn't healthy yet. Now he had the whole summer. He's back to beating Chris Paul that we're all, you know, used to seeing. But I think people forget how special. When people ask who's the best point guard in the league, the answer is Chris Paul. Is Darren Williams a good point guard? Yes. Is Derrick Rose a good point guard? Yes. John Wall is going to be fabulous. But today, the best point guard in the NBA is Chris Paul. And I think people forget that until you see him healthy and you see
right.
that team. I mean, Emeka Okafor looks like an all-star right now. You know
right.
why?
Right.
Not yeah. because Emeka Okafor is an all-star player. Because he plays with Chris Paul. That's why
right.
David West was an all-star. This guy makes everybody better, and they have done a great job of putting pieces around him that will help him push that team back to the champ. You know, what was it, 3 years ago, it was down to the last game of the season whether they were going to win the West or the Lakers.
Right.
And this is where they are again now. And
that's
it's fact, it's so much fun to see a superstar get healthy and be back at the level where he was a couple of years ago.
Wow. Now, before we let you go, I wanted to let you know we do have a question coming in on Twitter. Someone, Tito Vasquez, wants to know about Yao Ming. What's the status on Yao Ming?
Yao has a sprained tendon in his ankle. So, unlike Dirk Nowitzki, who sprains his ankle and gets retaped and comes back out, they are so cautious with Yao Ming right now. It's in the same foot that he had the 16 screws inserted into, surgically repaired, and missed all of last season. He could have returned last night, but the training staff decided to err on the side of caution. So I don't blame them, because every time Yao gets hurt, you just cringe. But he could have returned to the game last night and played the rest of the game. The only reason he didn't is because that training staff in Houston wants to make really double, triple sure that he doesn't in any way do anything to hurt that foot. So it was purely precautionary. I expect him to play, you know, his 20 to 24 minutes next time out.
Yeah, I agree.
And they have a lot invested in. They have a lot invested in. Yeah, I mean, plus he's an international star. You know,
they do, and this is the last year of his contract. And there's a big question as to whether he's ever going to play beyond this year, whether he'll get another NBA contract, and most of that depends on. I mean, all of it depends on if he can stay healthy. If he can't, it doesn't do you much good to have a superstar center if he can only play 50 games, 40 games, and he's not healthy for the playoffs. It doesn't matter how good he is when he's healthy. If he's not healthy for the playoffs, he doesn't help you.
Wow. Wow. We learned a lot about the NBA today, definitely. I want to welcome you. Thank you for coming on, number one, and let you know you're more than welcome at any time to come back on the program. It was definitely great having you on big time.
There's so many interesting stories to tell in the NBA, league-wide. It's not just the Heat and the Lakers and even Chris Paul. You know, there are great stories all over the league. And anytime you want to talk NBA, I know what most of those great stories are. So
okay.
I'd be happy to kick them around with you.
Good. Appreciate that.
Let everybody know again
exactly how they can keep in contact with what you're doing and hoopsworld.com.
You bet. It's hoopsworld.com. You can follow me at twitter.com/TheRocketGuy, as in Houston Rockets. And we definitely will keep you up to date on everything going on league-wide.
Cool. Thank you again for coming on the program, Bill. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure. Anytime, guys.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Wow, he had a lot to bring to the show, didn't he, Rodney?
I'm telling you, a lot. And, guys, that was Bill Ingram from hoopsworld.com. I want to thank him again for coming up to the program. This guy could be doing ESPN right now. He's on with us, so that's a huge step for us in the show.
Right.
I want to thank him definitely for coming on. Now, he brought up a lot of good stuff, man. He talked about a lot. And there is a lot of stories going on in the NBA. And I should have asked him a lot about John Wall, about some of the rookies coming to the league. We'll have to have him back on. Yeah, about the Jazz, too. We'll have to have him coming back on the program and talk a lot about that, too. Now, from what he said, Royce, now you have to agree about this Heat team, I know.
Oh, yeah. You know, when Chris Bosh's name came up, I always thought he was a good player on a bad team. You know, coming from Toronto, he was a superstar. That was the best in Toronto. And he's not one of the league's top forwards. You know, a lot of other guys better than him. I have to agree with Bill. He was absolutely on the money about Chris Bosh.
Yeah, you're right about that. And we want to remind everyone, you guys listen to us live, you still have time to call in and voice your opinions if you want to react to anything that Bill Ingram said, if you want to bring up any other new topics going on in the world of sports. That number is 323-927-2906. This is Thursday. This is our world-famous pick show. We will be joined by Rick later on in the program to do our picks. And, Royce, we got to stomp Rick this time. We got to. We got
to
stomp
Rick. Yeah, we definitely
have
to. Yeah, he just been like.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, you know, and with all the upsets that are happening in the NFL, you know, on Sundays, like Cleveland beating New England, who would ever thought that would happen? He just got lucky. I'm going to get lucky one week. So, we'll get it back.
Yeah, we're going to have to. Now, before we get into the picks real quick, let's get into a couple of other big stories going on in the world of sports right now. And I want to definitely get into this thing with Randy Moss. Now we've been on the show a long time, and every time we go on, man, it's like Randy Moss is on a different team. He's saying some of the news. But he'll get his start this weekend with the Tennessee Titans. He came out and had a few comments in the news as well, too. Now, Royce, what do you expect from Randy Moss? This is his third team this season. Has he learned his lesson? Is he ready to play? I mean, what do you think?
I think Randy Moss gives 115% Sunday. He's with a new team. I think he's happy. I think they welcome him. Jeff Fisher is not like any of the other coaches he had other than Belichick. It's time to make Vince Young shine. Vince Young is happy. I think they're welcoming. I heard some of the guys that you know, talk on ESPN that play with Randy Moss. If it's part, you know, when he's with you 100%. He has the best work ethics, you know, in football, and he can do a lot for this Tennessee team. And all they needed was a deep threat, and they got it right now. I look for Randy Moss to have a very big game Sunday. Then, of course, now he's signing for a contract.
Yeah, I know. Let me read you some of the comments that Randy Moss said in the news, and this is what he commented on yesterday. He only talked to the news for about 3 minutes before he ended the whole thing with, I got to go, or that's enough, I'm done. So he said that in the early season he wasn't going to talk to the press anymore this season, but he did did 3 minutes with him yesterday. One of his quotes he said is, I said it before, I didn't want to go to Minnesota and mess anything up. But I guess everybody blamed me for it, so am I going to say it again? I'm not coming here to start no trouble. I'm just coming in here to work every day and hopefully win.
Well, you know, Minnesota was a bad fit for him because from everything I'm hearing coming out of Minnesota, nobody likes the coach. And when you don't like the coach, most of the players don't play very well. But from what I heard, that's a big mess up there. I think he walked right into it. You know, I don't think he had his choice in the matter where he went. You know, they sent him there. And I think he just basically didn't like Brad Shepard.
Yeah, yeah. And they asked him about Minnesota. And this is what he said about Minnesota. He says that I love being there, and it just didn't work out. I had my own beliefs and what I believed in, and Childress had his. And am I bitter or am I mad that he let me go? He says no. He says you never know what the future holds, but right now I'm a Tennessee Titan, and I'm here to do whatever Coach Fisher wants me to do.
Right.
So do we take it? The question is, are we taking Randy Moss's word for it? I mean, he's got to be feeling a certain way. This is his third team in 1 year. I mean, at some point you got to kind of look yourself in the mirror. You know, you got to have that come to Jesus moment where you're like, okay, I'm on my third team. I don't have any more chances, you know. But he's got to have a chip on his shoulder at the same time. You know, I expect him to do some big things, real big things.
Well, you know, this is it for Randy Moss. You know, if he don't make it here, I don't think he goes any further. You know, he's a free agent next year. And if he doesn't do good here, I don't think his stock is going to drop. And I don't think nobody will want him. If he can't play for Jeff Fisher, you can't play for anybody.
Yeah, yeah. Let's bring on, of course, another contributor to the program. He's going to be live with us on the picks as well. Let's welcome Rick to the show. Rick, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What's up, boys? How y'all doing? How's it going tonight?
Hey,
boys, how's it going, man?
Rick, I'm in a good mood. I'm celebrating Veterans Day. So,
okay.
Well, all right, right on.
Now, when you came on the program, we were talking about Randy, him being a Tennessee Titan. I read a couple of comments that he's made as well. I mean, what are you expecting out of Randy this Sunday?
I don't know, man. It's something in me that takes him for his word, you know. I think Randy mean what he say. You know, I don't see why he shouldn't give him the benefit of the doubt, but, you know, I expect Randy to go out on the field, you know, with a chip on his shoulder. I really do. I mean, I think, for anything, it's probably more embarrassing for him to have moved around so much this year, especially knowing the type of receiver he is. And, you know, I think he's a competitor. Maybe just the stuff up in Minnesota didn't work out. You know, it was short-lived, so nobody should even be discussing it now. You know, I mean, it's gone. That was real quick. That was a quick situation. So let's see what he do in Tennessee. I think he's sure going to help Vince Young and Chris Johnson, though.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's going to definitely help Chris because that's going to really – he won't see an eight-man front Sunday. They'll have to double-team Randy. So it's really going to help.
Yeah, man.
Not a lot.
Yep. Right. I definitely agree. He won't see an eight-man front. He'll rarely see seven, bro.
Right.
Now, here's some of the things that Coach Fisher had to say. He says, I'm not going to deal with the hypotheticals when it comes to Randy, and I don't have any issue with anything he's done right now. That sounds a lot like what Brad Childress was saying at one time. But speaking of Brad, I mean, what's the deal with Brad? Y'all think he's going to make it this season? They were ready to fire him if they lost that game last Sunday.
They were ready to fire him last year, if you can remember. I mean, a couple of years ago. The word out now, Rodney, is the players just really don't like him. And I think this is his last year. You know, he had some Adrian Peterson. You know, you got Brett Paul. I mean, you got a good team. You got some good players on. And if they're just going, there's something wrong, you know. I don't know what the situation is in Minnesota, but it's pretty bad.
Rick, what do you think? You think Jeff is, you think he's saying this because, hey, that's what he needs to say? I mean, but Jeff is a no-nonsense guy. He's black and white, you know, type of guy. And he's in a position where he can just cut Randy. But is Jeff that kind of coach that can get Randy, you know, playing and back on track and giving it his all every play?
I don't see why not. You know, Jeff Fisher's had his share of what they would be perceived as bad people on a football team. He's had his share of them. You know, and like I say, either it works out or, you know, Jeff Fisher's going to pretty much get rid of them. I couldn't really explain what is going on up in Minnesota, but I can pretty much tell you this. Without question, no matter what they do, you know, he won't be there next year. You know, but if they get out there and they lose two or three more games, I wouldn't think he would make it past that.
And plus, yeah, he's playing with a winning team. Tennessee is right up there on top in their division, and he has a good chance of going to the playoffs with Tennessee than he would be with Minnesota.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, I agree. Without question.
We're going to see about that. Before we get into our world-famous picks, we want to remind everyone, if you listen to the show at a later date, if you're downloading the show on podcast, you're more than welcome to follow the show at rfsportsradio.blogspot.com or find us at blogtalkradio.com/rfsports. And you can follow us on Twitter as well at rfsportsradio and keep up to date with us. We will be blogging live from the Mavericks game tomorrow when they take on the 76ers. You don't want to miss that. We give you guys up-to-the-minute information, up-to-the-quarter information, and we'll be doing some special things. And Rick, you get a chance to join us on that broadcast for tomorrow live from the AAC, which is going to be a huge deal, something we're doing with the Mavs right now. Now, before we get into the picks, though, real quick, now, Rick, you've been following this story kind of for us real quick, so I want you to kind of update it. Me and Royce haven't talked about this a lot on the show right now, and that's the deal with this Cam Newton, the quarterback from Auburn. And actually, a story broke right here in Dallas on the radio that's having some repercussions that go throughout the NCAA right now. Why don't you give us up-to-date information about this Cam Newton situation?
Well, the guy that was talking, I mean, his name was Kenny Rogers, and he was a former player at Mississippi State. And I believe his position is he's the type of guy that, like, helps players, you know, get recruited. You know, those type of players that are not getting recruited, he helps them out, or players that's been into some trouble, he'll still help them out and help them get recruited. But they pretty much, you know, try to pin the situation on him, according to their side of the story. They try to pin the situation on him, saying that, you know, if anything, he was the one that's after the money. But he told his side of the story and let everyone know that, you know, he talked to Cecil, you know, which is the kid's father. He talked to him, and he literally said, you know, that, yeah, it's going to take more than just a scholarship to get my son. You know, but he did mention that when he said that, they were all at some hotel. I don't remember exactly which one it was, but they were at a hotel, and it was Kenny Rogers, the father, and two coaches from Mississippi State. You know, but he did say that those coaches backed off. He never mentioned who the coaches were, but he did say they backed off and pretty much said, oh, no, you know, we can't hear nothing like that. You know, he did say the coaches said that. But he asked for anywhere from $100,000 to $180,000. That's the number that they're putting on it right now.
Wow.
You know, and every young kid that gets recruited or signed letters of intent, there's always an uncle in the background. They want something. You know what I mean? They want something, you know, for the kid. I mean, if you look at everybody, I saw a story the other day on the ESPN. They were talking about one of the uncles that almost going to deal for one of the recruits because he was asking for stuff. He was thinking, telling the kid, you know, you can get more, you know, and he sees other players doing it. You know, but that's in everybody's family. You know, that's in everybody's. It's a sad thing, you know what I mean, because they are really messing up.
This one happens to be his father, too.
Right.
You know, you never know what that situation is about. You know, obviously somebody was throwing some money around no matter who's at fault. You know, they brought up actually other people, too, alumni and other people that played for the team. You know, the guy said once he talked to the father, he even mentioned that the father talked to him at a gas station and asked him, you know, is the deal done? But he mentioned he didn't know exactly what that particular deal was, you know, so he called somebody, you know, in the circle that he figured would know, you know, some answer. And he called and left him a message, didn't even talk to him. So he's really giving up all the beans from, you know, his side of the story because everybody's trying to pin it on him now. I mean, it's a crazy situation. But they did say the kid committed to Mississippi State, and then all of a sudden, boom, boom, Auburn.
Wow. But, you know, if you look back,
what you think about this is basically just like a Reggie Bush type of situation. But we're hearing about this while this guy is playing, And I think this was making everybody kind of look back at it like, okay, what happens? And since this interview has aired, Yahoo Sports is actually reporting right now that there's a possibility Auburn might sit Cam Newton this Saturday for playing. Because the repercussions, if this is true, is going to reach back not just into Cam Newton, but into Auburn and with suspensions they're going to face and sanctions, their record being forfeited for the games he did play in. And apparently Mississippi State contacted the SEC about this in January, but never made mention of any particular phone calls or money, exact, you know, the numbers that now Kenny Rogers is saying or said on the news on the radio today. But let me ask you this. What should Auburn do? And, Royce, you can answer this question. Should they bench him now? You know, should this guy's the Heisman, leading Heisman candidate right now. I mean, he's got this team undefeated in the SEC. They got a clear path to the championship that they can win out. I mean, do you think that they should bench him now?
Right. Well, you know, Rodney, from all what I heard, the kid does have a pretty bad checkered past, too. You know, he got caught with a stolen laptop. There's a lot of things. Now, for what I'm seeing, you know, he's changed himself around. It's sad, but if I was over the athletic department to keep my school from being penalized or forfeiting a good season, you know, if there's any remote chance that this did happen, I would sit him out. I mean, you know, if you think it's coming, try to nip it before. And if it does come out, they're going to get axed anyway. So, you know, do you let him play? I don't, that's a good question. I'll delete that to the athletic director. You know,
Rick,
get him out, let him play.
Did it's a bench right away after hearing these allegations?
No.
It's
going to come anyway.
It's a tricky situation. You know, I mean, it's really bad publicity for Auburn. But at this point, look, man, this is something that goes on. It's been going on. It's going to continue going on until somebody finally get caught, you know, and then it's just a bad situation, you know, until, you know, they put a rule on it or a law on it or whatever the case is. At this point, I would go ahead and play it. If he's going to get caught, they're going to take away the games or, you know, the Heisman or whatever, however far it goes. If he gets caught, they're going to take all that away, you know. So just go ahead and let him play. If he gets caught tomorrow, they're going to take it away. If he get caught at the end of the year, they're going to take it away. You might as well go and take your chance.
That's right.
This spokesperson, Stacey Osborne, commented on Yahoo Sports. She said the solicitation of cash or benefits by a prospective student-athlete or another individual on his or her behalf is not allowed under the rule, and that's the rule that they're going to be going by. And the FBI has actually picked up this investigation. They're going to be doing their own investigation as well. And they're going to be talking to some of his former teammates or former players from Mississippi State, and one in particular, the guy that blew the whistle in the first place. And that was, what was the guy, John Bond. He's the one that made the initial inquiry to the NCAA about Newton since he didn't end up coming to Mississippi State. Now, Royce, you going to say something about whether he should play or not?
Well, you know, like I said, it's going to happen anyway because the game he played, if he's caught, he's going to get forfeited anyway. So you might as well go ahead and play him. But the bad thing, you know, we talked about this on the early show. Until they make this a law where it's a criminal offense, it's not going to stop happening because rules are always going to be broken. People are going to always find a way around them. And the only way to do this is make this a law. So you might as well plan because it's going to, you know, if it happens, it happens anyway. I agree with Rick.
Right. Yeah, and of course they did have another allegation about him cheating on a test and all this other stuff. But you know what? I'm like you guys. If you dig deep enough, you can find whatever you want to find. You know,
right.
There's several skeletons in the closet on a lot of NCAA players, some players that have won Heisman trophies and then went on to win Super Bowl championships and get millions of dollars. So if you want to go look at everyone with a fine or comb, go through everyone with a fine-tooth comb, you got to go through everyone. You know, I mean, no one's not guilty in this thing. Not by any
You know it's going to find something. You know they're going to find something, especially with the FBI in it. They're going to find something. It's way too much smoke out there right now for it not to be a fire somewhere. It's going to they're going to find something.
And speaking of NBA, it is halftime on the Falcons and Ravens game. Again, we didn't get the picks as it comes on Thursday. And the Ravens, the Falcons are leading the Ravens right now 13-7. And it's actually in the getting ready to go into the fourth quarter right now. So
okay.
I thought the Falcons would win this game, to be honest with you. I mean, the Ravens would win this game. I guess the Falcons are showing everybody that they just might be the best team in the NFC right now. So we'll definitely.
Ooh, win. It's a good thing they're playing now, because if I would have picked that game, I would have picked the Ravens.
Me too. Yeah, Rick.
And what we're gonna do with that game is we're gonna give everybody an automatic win on that game. You know, we're gonna give everybody an automatic win. So we all starting out 1-0 right now. So let's just start at 1-0. And Rick, as you know how this game works, how we do the picks, we do them every Thursday, we review them on Tuesday, and whoever wins the week before gets to pick first. So you get a chance to kind of pick first again. You know how that works. If you guys want to get in on the picks, you're more than welcome to call in and join the show. 323-927-2906 is the number. And let's get into the picks real quick. Of course, everybody's starting out 1-0 when it comes to the Falcons and the Ravens game. So let's start out with some of the early games. And the first game we got to pick is going to be live in Buffalo at Ralph Wisdom Stadium. I know it's going to be cold up there. It is November. And you got the Detroit Lions leaving their comfiness of the Dome, going to play the Buffalo Bills and Ralph Wilson, a team that hasn't won yet, and I picked them to win against the Bears. They disappointed me. So, Rick, do you have the Buffalo Bills getting their first win of the season at home against the Detroit Lions?
I feel like going with the Bills. I am going to do that today. I think I'm going to go with the Bills, man. I mean, Matthew Stafford is out. Even though Sean Hill is going to come in and perform, even as long as they got Calvin Johnson, they're going to be able to do something. But Buffalo do. They do, man. They do. They need a win right now. They are due for a win.
And they're talking about Matthew Stafford being out indefinitely for the rest of the season. It's another shoulder injury for this guy. And think about it, Detroit could have won that game if Yidama Kinsu could have kicked it straighter. They might have won that game. So you never know. But who knows who's going to kick field goals this game either. So, Royce, you got the Bills winning their first game against Detroit?
The Bills are going to win a game, and I think it's going to be Sunday. I don't think Detroit can play out of the Dome. If Stanford's out, I got to go with Buffalo.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and make it a trifecta. I'm going to go with Buffalo, too. Yeah, I like Buffalo's chances.
Rick.
I like Buffalo's chances right now, like you said. No Matthew Stafford. We don't know who's going to kick field goals. It's almost like a perfect storm for Buffalo to get that first win. So we are going with Buffalo in this game. Next game we got to pick, we got the Minnesota Vikings going to Soldier Field to play the Chicago Bears. This is a division rivalry game. Rick, let me know who you're picking, man. You going with Brett Favre? You going with Jay Cutler, Mike Morris offense? You know, what you going to do?
I'm going with the Bears at home.
Wow.
I think the
Bears at home?
I'm going with the Bears at home. The Vikings is about to fall apart, man. I'm going with the Bears at home. Brett Favre, he can do it. He can only do it so long. I think the Bears might have a chance of getting there and getting on him, knocking him out for the game because he knows he's going to come back the next game. But, you know, I feel good about the Bears on this one.
I think I'm gonna pick the Vikings on this game. I think they had a real spark last week coming back from 14 down, winning the game the way they did. I saw Brett Favre kind of act like the old Brett Favre from last season, getting all excited, being with the players. Regardless of what this coach is doing or how he's behaving, Royce, you said to yourself, the players still have to play no matter what coach is doing. And I like the way the players are playing. I think right now they're playing for each other. They know they need a win right now. This is all set up for them to get back into the playoffs so they can win these next couple of games. So I'm going to go with Minnesota to win this game.
Boy, I hate to go against Brett Favre, but I'm going to go ahead and pick Minnesota to win. I think their defensive front four is going to put so much pressure on Jay Cutler that I got
too.
Yeah. So I'm and I think Brett Favre, he got one more miracle. So I'm going to go with Minnesota, right.
And hopefully he didn't use up his miracle last game. Hopefully he didn't do that. But I like that pick. So, Ricky, on a limb on that game, that's going to be your first limb game, your first separation game is going to be taking the Bears to beat the Vikings. Jets going on the road to play the Cleveland Browns, a hot Cleveland Browns team, a hot young quarterback in Colt McCoy. He's beating the Patriots. He's beating the Saints. I mean, now you got the Jets coming into town, and this team plays well at home. Don't forget Peyton Hillis, how he's running the ball. I mean, so who you picking? Do you like the Jets, or do you like the Cleveland Browns?
I'm going with the Jets. Yep. I think the Jets are going to pull this one out. I mean, give Cleveland credit for what they've been doing. I do think that they've been playing well, and, you know, I appreciate them beating the Patriots. You know, I give Cleveland credit. They play good. I really think Cleveland gets up for big games, you know, and I do think that other teams don't get up for Cleveland like that. They, you know, just kind of look over them. But you got to give Cleveland credit. They've been out there taking advantage of everything that these so-called good teams have been giving them, you know. But I don't think they'll be able to stop the Jets from coming in there and running the ball. I think LaDainian Thomason is going to have a pretty good game on him, and I think the Jets' defense is just going to be too much.
Royce, so you like this game. You picking the Cleveland Browns to keep rolling?
I think the Jets have been stagnant. I don't know if they're going to be stagnant this week. But I tell you what, the Cleveland Browns made me a believer. You know, we always say it's not how you start, it's how you finish. I see them going on the road the second half of this season.
So you going with Cleveland?
I'm going to Cleveland. My surprise.
Wow. That's a big pick, man. That's a big pick.
They made believers out of me last week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. They deserve they deserve you to pick them after the way they've been playing
the last
2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? But but the thing about I think about Cleveland is I'm looking at them beating the Patriots. Now, the Patriots are not a very good defensive team. Excuse me. And the Saints are not a very good defensive team. You know, they're putting up a lot of points right now, but they're stopping offenses that are not that good, like a Seattle Seahawks team. So I'm going to have to go with the Jets because the Jets got a better defense. I think they'll slow them down a little bit. I don't think Peyton Hill's going to run like he's been running the last, especially last week. And I think hopefully Sanchez is going to be a better quarterback on Sunday than Colt McCoy.
Right.
Although, you know, Colt McCoy hasn't thrown for a touchdown, but he's been a leader out there.
And you know what? I think Cleveland believes that they can beat anybody. And, when you believe you can.
I bet they do. They done beat the Saints and the Patriots. I bet going out there, you know, just way up in the air. They feel good about what they're doing.
I think they believe they can. I do. I think they're going to be the surprise team of the second half. That's my pick.
That's a good pick. So, Royce, this is going to be your separation game right there, your limb game.
Oh,
it's going to be the Browns to beat the Jets, and your separation comes in right there.
I know.
Now, we got the Carolina Panthers, a one-win team, similar to another team we got to discuss tonight as well. And they're going against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Is anybody giving Carolina a chance to beat the Buccaneers on the road? Anybody?
No, I'm not.
I'm not either.
So we're gonna pick the Bucks to win that game. That might be the biggest blowout game of the week. You never know.
Right.
Where their offense is performing. Who knows? They're gonna play quarterback for Carolina. They might have three quarterbacks like they had last week. Now you got the Houston Texans going up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars coming out for bye week. They had 2 weeks to prepare for this team.
That's a hard pick.
And Houston, we all picked them to win last week, and they lost at home. Now they're going on the road. And we now know how bad this Houston secondary is. And we saw with Jackson, the last time we saw Jacksonville, they were torching the Cowboys for 38 points. So, Rick, who you picking this game? You like the Texans or you like the Jaguars at home?
Actually, I think I'm going to go with the Texans. You know, I do think the Jaguars, you know. Yeah, I think the Jaguars feel good about, you know, what they did, but they caught a
Cowboys team in a bad situation, man, and the Cowboys ain't playing that well. They playing like the worst defense in the league, worst offense in the league. You know, and Jacksonville went out there and really, really took advantage of that like they were supposed to. You know, I don't think Cleveland, I don't think Houston is going to go in there and be as light on them as the Cowboys was. I think Houston will give them a whole lot better game.
Royce, you picking this game?
Well, you know what, right now, I drank some of the Texas Kool-Aid. I fell right into it. And to me, is they going back to the same old up-and-down ways. And Jacksonville plays everybody hard. I mean, they play everybody hard. I'm going to go with them. I say Jones do have a good day because the Houston defense, I don't think it's tough enough to stop
them. Mm. I'm going with the Jags, too. I'm going with the Jags, too, because I think that, number one, their quarterback has got to have so much confidence right now. He's coming off a career game 2 weeks ago against the Cowboys where he threw for 4 touchdowns, ran for 1. And I think his confidence is going to be so high. He's going to take so much of a command of that offense. I mean, they passed the ball well that game against the Cowboys. And he's going against the even worse, if you can believe even worse,
right.
Secondary than what the Cowboys have. So
right.
I think that, you know, he can definitely light up the Texans like he lived the Cowboys, especially at home. So I'm going to go with Jacksonville to win this game. So, Rick, you got two separation games on you already. But, again, you're not afraid of that. I mean, you won 2 weeks in a row, so don't worry about that, right?
Yeah, I ain't worried about it at all. But, you know, I really do think, you know, Houston's going to go out there and do some things. You know, I think that bye week might even hurt David a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, he's not able to sustain that same rhythm that he had, you know. I mean, he took advantage of the Cowboys, man. Houston's going to have a better pass rush than what the Cowboys did.
And the bye week has not been kind to the NFL teams. A lot of teams come out the bye week, come out real, real slow. The bye week has not been a good thing so far this season at all. Now that you got the game that we've already kind of touched on earlier before, you got the Tennessee Titans on the road going to play Miami in Miami. Now, the key about this game is the fact that, of course, they're going to have Randy Moss on the Tennessee offense, but, you know, Vince Young did not practice. Actually, Kerry Collins took most of the first-team snaps. It's going to be a game-time decision for Vince Young, whether he can play. But on the other side of the ball, Chad Henne is not going to play. They actually benched Chad Henne and go with Chad Pennington. He's going to start this game. You know, I don't know why they're doing this. I think it's a total panic move by the coach. But now you may have two different quarterbacks in. You do got Randy Moss in, a new wide receiver. So, I mean, who do you like this game, Rick? Do you like the Titans with Kerry Collins possibly and Randy, or do you like, you know, the Dolphins with Chad Pennington?
I think with, you know, either quarterback, they both veterans. They both should be able to come in and command the offense, you know, but I like the Randy Moss and Tennessee Titans situation. You know, I think for Randy Moss, he's played with Kerry Collins before, you know, so Kerry Collins can throw him the ball. They have, you know, some chemistry. You know, that shouldn't even be a problem for Tennessee at all. And Kerry Collins is able to go out there and command the Tennessee offense. You know, so, you know, I really feel good about Tennessee. I think they'll go down there and beat them.
And real quick, I want to stop real quick right fast. We just had an incident at the L.A. Lakers and Denver game. Someone threw something and hit Ron Artest in the back of the head. Someone from the Denver Nuggets crowd just threw something and hit Ron Artest in the back of the head. They haven't showed
the
replay
yet. They better get out of the stands.
Yeah, they just escorted him out. They just escorted him out the stands right now. So
right.
You heard it here first. You heard it
okay.
here first. But someone just actually threw something in the crowd and hit Ron Artest in the back of the head. But they haven't.
Well, they better run.
They haven't shown
the
replay
of
it yet. But something's happened. Yeah, something's happened.
He's coming at it.
Yeah, we'll see that on SportsCenter later on tonight.
Shut up.
Something that's happened in Denver. So,
right.
You better get out of the stands. Long, man. Wilder went up in the stands on you, man.
I'm trying to tell you,
right.
If he ain't showed you already, but he will do that.
Yeah,
you know,
he will come after you, right.
You
know what I'm saying? He ain't one of them little stocky dudes. He one of them big stocky dudes.
right.
Ron Artest about 6'9", 250 on him, dog.
Right. Right.
One part, as far as the Tennessee and Miami game goes, I'm going to pick the Titans to win this game. And that's only because Kerry Collins and Randy Moss have played together before in Oakland,
right,
if you guys remember. And the first time they played together, Collins hit him for a 75-yard touchdown opening drive to start
right.
their season when they played at Oakland. So I think these guys got somewhat of a chemistry. So I'm going to go with the Titans to win this game. Royce, who did you pick this game? Did you pick the Dolphins?
Are you kidding right now? You trying to make my pick even worse. I'm going with Tennessee because Randy Moss didn't catch 150 touchdowns for nothing. I say he has 153 by Sunday night.
And Rick will
have three touchdowns.
Wow. You say you're going to have three touchdowns?
Three touchdowns.
Wow,
man.
Whoa.
All right, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If I'm right, I'm a genius.
For real.
Rick,
you know how
Rick, Rick, what was your pick again? Let's listen.
Oh, I'm taking the Titans
time.
On that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
we all
the
got the Titans. We all got Tennessee to win on
okay.
the road there.
Right.
Another game that we need to pick is the Cincinnati Bengals coming off a loss, basically a season-killing loss against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they're going on the road to play the Indianapolis Colts, so it doesn't get any easier for Cincinnati right now. Of course, you guys know how I feel about the Colts right now, although Cincinnati T.O. is really making my fantasy team look good right now.
Right.
But, Rick, I got to get your opinion first. Who you picking, the Bengals or the Colts?
The Colts lost last week, didn't they? You know,
no, the Colts. Yeah, the Colts lost. I'm
no.
sorry, they did lose last
right.
week.
Right,
they lost
right.
two
last,
last
week. Lost last week. You know, they
right.
don't lose too many games in a season. And you know,
right.
with a team like
right.
Cincinnati, I think the Colts will really take advantage of them. They lose, the
right.
Colts will lose, but it seems like you know there's it's synced in there somehow. You know, they'll lose four
right.
or five games or something like that, but
right.
you know
right.
they don't lose too many in a row.
Right.
Royce, you picking?
I got to go with Rick on this, so maybe my pick will be better this week. But I'm going with them because Cincinnati has failed to show me anything. That defense would tear Carson Palmer up, and I've seen him throw a lot of – he's not the same quarterback he was last year. And even if he went out, you got another Palmer in there, his brother, the backup. But I say Peyton Manning, they don't lose two in a row. I got
to
go with
it's hard for them to lose two in a row. And they've only lost. They only lost last week. Really, a product of this new receiving core that Peyton got to deal with. I mean, they dropped a lot of passes too.
Right.
Passes that
right.
normally
that tight end was terrible, wasn't he?
He was terrible. He was terrible. Normally, passes that tight end Dwight Clark would catch. So that's understandable. Real quick, we got about 12 minutes left in the program, so we do got to talk, of course, about the Cowboys' chances this Sunday. Well, let's pick the rest of the games real fast here. You got Kansas City at Denver. Rick, who you like this game?
Kansas City is going to Denver?
Yeah, going to Denver.
I think I'm going to have to go with Denver on this one.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go with Denver on this one. You know, I'm not really big on picking the Broncos. I think the Kansas City Chiefs have been playing well. I got to start giving them credit for it. But it seems like Denver, you know, at some point they got to start getting it together. And this might be a good game for them. And they're playing at home.
Right. Well, hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Go
yes,
ahead, Russ.
The forecast calls for snow, favors Denver. I got to go with Denver on this one. It's going to be snowing up there. Nobody plays better in snow than the Broncos.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to go with Kansas City. Kansas City.
Yeah,
I think they're a better team. Yeah, I'm out there by myself finally on the game, but I'm going with Kansas City. That's going to be my separation game. I picked them a lot this season, too. And they've done good for me, and they've done bad for me. But I'm going to go with them to beat Denver.
Right.
I don't think Denver's that good of a team. So
it's
just only a matter of time before Tebow's taking over that team. It might be sooner than later. We never know. We do have another late afternoon game. That's Seattle. They're going on the road to play Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals, of course, we saw how they looked last week. They played Cardinals last week, they played the Minnesota Vikings and lost in overtime.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so
right.
they played a real, real close game. Yeah, they played a real close game and lost 27-24. And they let Brett Favre kind of come back on them with 14 points in the 14 unanswered points basically in the fourth quarter to put it in overtime. So let me ask you first, Rick, of course, do you like Seattle or do you like Arizona at home?
I'm going with the Cardinals at home. You know, I think Seattle's got them some wins, but I don't think that team is really that good anymore. I was giving them credit earlier, but it's just I don't think that team is really that good. The Cardinals, they've been out there. They've been playing hard. They just haven't been coming away with the wins like they should have been. You know, I think the Cardinals will have more than what Seattle will have out there. So I got to go with the Cardinals.
Yeah, I understand that. Plus, Seattle's coming off a three-point performance as well,
right,
too, from last week. So, Royce, you picking this game. You like Seattle or like Arizona?
I'm going to go to Arizona. Seattle has no offense unless they bring back Sean Alexander. I'm going to Arizona.
I'm going to ride that Arizona train with you. I'm going to go with the Cardinals as well, too.
That was a good Sean Alexander, that boy right there ain't been nothing since he came out on the mat.
They had done that since they had him either.
Right. Another West divisional game. You got St. Louis at San Francisco. Rick, are you picking this game?
I'm going with the Rams on this one.
So the Rams?
Even though they're playing in San Francisco. The Rams have been, you know, playing pretty well. I'm going to give a little credit to the Rams. I'm going with them.
Okay. The Rams, of course, y'all know San Francisco did get another win. They had a bye week last week, but they got another win with their new quarterback, Troy Smith. He's a talk of San Francisco right now. So, Royce, are you picking? You like St. Louis or you like San Francisco?
Well, last time I picked against San Francisco was against the Rangers, and San Francisco won. I'm going with San Francisco.
Mm. So you like what Troy Smith is doing then?
Yeah, I like it. I think they got a taste to win it. I think they like it. So we'll see. Maybe they get
together. I'm going with the Rams. I'm going with the Rams. I've been riding with the Rams, Sam Bradford, Steven Jackson. I'm riding with them. I like the Rams. I think the Rams are going to do it this time. I definitely do.
Okay.
Now, another game. This is going to be a hard game to pick, y'all. This is Sunday night's game. New England goes to Heinz Field to play the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we saw what Cleveland did to New England last week. We haven't really seen New England lose two games in a row. So keep that factor in mind. Pittsburgh did beat Cincinnati, although they allowed them to score 21 points.
Right.
So, Rick, you get the first shot at this thing. Who you picking?
Pittsburgh's playing at home, right?
Right.
I'm going with Steelers.
Mm.
I think
it's going to
be a good game, man. I really do. I think both teams will be able to put up some points. You know, the Patriots' defense is not that good, so the Steelers should be able to take advantage of it. The Steelers' defense is good, but, you know, the Patriots' offense is good, too. You know, so I think they'll be able to – both teams will be able to put up some points, but I think Pittsburgh's got a better chance of stopping the Patriots than what the Patriots will be able to put on the field defensively.
And, Royce, are you picking this game?
Too many terrible ties in Pittsburgh. I got to go with Pittsburgh. Best defense in the league.
And I'm going to ride with y'all on that. I'm going with the Steelers, too. And for no other reason, for personal reasons. But I think the Steelers are a better team anyway. I think they'll win this game. Another divisional game we got, and this is a Monday night game, Philadelphia at Washington. Michael Vick, we saw what he did last week. Washington had a bye week last week. But we don't know who's going to play quarterback by the end of this game as far as Washington's concerned. So are you picking, like, the Eagles or do you like the Redskins?
I really don't care which one of them teams win. But I don't care at all. But I think Michael Vick will be able to go in there and beat them. Yes, I think they'll be able to go in there and do it.
Royce, are you picking this game?
I got to go with Michael Vick and Philly. The way he's been playing, if he plays like he did last week, I got to go with Michael Vick. Philadelphia, even though they're not my favorite team, I got to pick him.
Let me just say I'm going with Philadelphia too, because I like what Michael Vick is playing, and like I said before, we don't know who's going to be quarterbacking this team, and then Washington by the end of the game. I mean, if they get to a 2-minute drill, of course, we already heard the stories about McNabb's endurance, and I can't imagine he's been running anything during the off season besides going to the buffet line. So I'm going to have to go with Philadelphia on this game right here too, man. I like what
I bet they won't tip for him this time.
I think that standing ovation is going to be something else. It's going to be some boo birds in the building for sure.
Some hard playing in Philly, buddy.
Now, we got about 5 minutes left in the program. You guys, you know, you're more than welcome to call in, 323-927-2906. If you want to get your comments on to the show, you're more than welcome to call in and join the broadcast. We got about 4 to 5 minutes left, so we got to talk about the game in question. Of course, brand new head coach is Jason Garrett. He's going to take his Cowboy team on the road to play the best team in the NFC East right now. That's the New York Giants. Giants are putting up 40-some points a game. We just got beat by Green Bay 45-7. He hasn't had a lot of time to work with this team, only had 4 days to work with this team. I mean, we talked about the culture changes that Jason Garrett is supposed to be responsible for. Again, players that should be playing, you know, get them to playing. So, now, Royce, I got to ask you first, what do you think? I mean, what are you expecting to see on Sunday?
I don't see nowhere in the world the Cowboys getting a beat that offensive line of New York. I'm sorry, the defensive line of New York. I say the Cowboys played better than they have. I say they play a really competitive game, but I don't see them winning. I got to go with the Giants.
Rick, what are your thoughts on what you're going to see on Sunday?
You know, at this point, I don't know what to expect. You know, Wade Phillips is gone. You know, he's out of there. So we kind of knew what we was going to get on the field with Wade Phillips. Jason Garrett has taken over. Yes, it is the same players, you know, but I have no idea, you know, what to expect out there right now. Just like we've talked before, it's a brand new season for them, you know. So, you know, I'm hoping that it's going to be some good things out there. But just like, you know, they defensive line, I expect they defensive line to tear Kidna up. I really do, you know. But maybe our defense can get in there and get on Manning a little bit. You know, who knows? I don't know what's going to happen, you know. But without question, I'm picking the Cowboys, no doubt about it.
Now, let me ask you this real quick, because I knew you're going to pick the Cowboys either way it go. And you know how I feel about the Cowboys as well, too. But if you think about it, I mean, we're going to see a lot of the same offense. I mean, we still got the same offensive coordinator, you know, so I expect to see some of the same offense. But what about defensively? I mean, we talked about earlier in the show how the defense is going to react, and now the offensive coordinator is calling their plays or looking over their shoulder more closely to find out what they're doing. Do we expect
to see something different
from the defense?
That's another reason, you know, I don't know exactly what to expect. Because whereas Wade Phillips would go out there and he might call, you know, 6 blitzes in a row and they done burnt us on every blitz. You know, if they're trying to call a blitz out there, you know, Jason Garrett can oversee that and like, man, no, back him up, put him in the zone or do this, that, and the other. You know, who knows? Jason Garrett might be able to make some good calls out there. You know, and then offensively, yes, it's still going to be the same offense. Hopefully, you know, it can be a spark. They just need to get into the end zone somehow. Get the ball to Dez Bryant some more. Obviously, he can get in there.
Right. I agree with you on that. I think you know, I got to ride with the boys because I'm just that type of fan. I'm going to ride with the boys, Royce, whether you like it or not. But I just want to see a more effort out there. I mean, I want to see someone light a fire. And I don't know if, you know, we're going to really find out what Jason Garrett is capable of. This is going to be really, really interesting. We got a lot of callers lighting up the line right now, so we want to get everybody on. So if you listen to us live online, call our call-in number. That way you can still listen to the show after hours, 323-927-2906. We're going to get into a lot more Cowboy talk now that the phones are lighting up as well, too. If you guys are missing this action that we got about to get into, I always turn back to the show at blogtalkradio.com/rsports. Let's bring some callers on real quick. And of course, if you're listening online, call in. You can hear some of the after hours stuff on the show. 323-927-2906. Let's bring some callers on real quick. Caller 5269, you're live on the RS Sports Radio Show. What's your comment about the Cowboys?
Tis, man. Well, first off, I mean, Cowboys will lose, man. I said that earlier. 1-15 all day long, man. And I'm a little shocked and hurt at all these at the Patriots game, man. These folks taking the Steelers down my team because of 1 week, man. I'm a little disappointed, man. You know what I mean?
Y'all lost
I
to
think
the Browns.
There's a little anti-patriotism going on.
Y'all lost to the Browns, though.
Yeah. Hey, man. Hey, sun shines on the dogs behind someday, man. That's how it goes. But we will be victorious.
Well, we'll see. It's the two best teams are playing. So we will see. Somebody's going to lose. Somebody's going to win.
Mm-hmm. Let's get another call on real quick and get their comments real quick about the Cowboys. Caller 6232, you're live on the RS Sports Radio Show.
Hey, guys. First time caller, first time listener. Love what you guys are doing. Keep doing it. You might recognize my voice, Rodney.
Hey, how's it going, man?
hey, real quick, man. You know, it's good to have a new coach, but it all comes down to Jerry. Is he going to let Jason Garrett make the decisions that coaches need to do? So, if he's going to tie his hands, then I don't know why people are calling expecting that things are going to change. I mean, if he can't make any drastic moves, I mean, you can forget about it.
Yeah.
And I'll let you guys go and talk about that. Good show, Rod.
Let me ask you this before you get off the line, though. Okay. Now, we know Jason Garrett's been offensive coordinator, so we can expect to see a little bit more of the same on offense. But do you think he'll make a difference in the defense? I mean, you think he'll have a chance to do something that Wade, this defensive guru, couldn't do, couldn't get these guys to play? I mean, do you expect to see anything change on the defensive side of the ball?
Oh, man. It's hard to tell, you know. But I think that nothing is going to happen until – like somebody like a, you know, like he did with Bill Parcells or Jimmy Johnson. He pretty much let them do their thing. And if he's not going to let Jason do his thing, I mean, you can forget about it. So I don't know if he really has control, if he really is coaching or not. We'll see. We'll see tomorrow, or Sunday. But no, man. I mean, I really don't expect anything to change.
Yeah, that's a good point. We want to thank you for calling in, man.
That's
you're more than welcome to. You're more than welcome to call in anytime, too. Anytime.
Oh, hey, appreciate it, man. Nice job, guys.
All right, thanks, man.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Yeah, y'all heard the Cowboy fans speak, man. They still think Jerry is the guy to blame here.
You know what? They will play better, but they won't win. That's my thoughts exactly. Like I say, I haven't seen anything in the first 8 games to prove that they are winners, you know, despite who the coach is. Like I say, you're playing for the name on the back of your jersey. I hadn't seen them play. They may play better, but I don't see them beating the Giants. The Giants are a balanced team, offense and defense. Cowboys will not win Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Now, Chris, I know you want to jump on that, man. Go ahead.
Hey, man, Cowboys, man, I mean – nothing is going to change, man. Frankenstein team, man. There has to be a whole restructure. Just because you change one part does not mean the car is running right, man. You have to do a full investigation of what's going on up under the hood. And it's not. I think, you know, as it was said earlier a couple of shows ago, that I think it was good they let him go right now because that'll expose Jason Garrett, see how weak he is, and you can get him out of there at the end of the season. You can just start over fresh, personally, is what I think. But, I mean, that's just my take on it, you know what I mean? So I don't think Garrett wasn't really a good football player to me. He ain't a good offensive coordinator, for my take. And I don't think he'll be a good head coach. That's just my take on it. You know, if I'm out there by myself, and so be it. But I just, track record speaks for itself. I mean, what he got, what does he have that makes him a good offensive coordinator, a good player, or anything that he's been under Jerry Jones' payroll for. Name me one thing.
Well, man,
his offense move the ball. His offense will move the ball. They will move the ball.
They do have.
I know, but that's what you're right. That's what an offensive coordinator is supposed to do. So he was putting them in position to score. They didn't score every time, you know. But they've had their days doing that. Don't forget, they did win some games. They had three good years right there in a row. The offense was doing what they needed to do.
Yeah, he ain't got nothing up under his belt to make me seem like he's a good leader.
There are a lot of coaches in the league, offensive coordinators leagues, that don't have the skins on the wall, per se, of anything under their belt, but that don't mean they're bad offensive coordinators or bad coaches. You know, a lot of times when the players let you down, when the players give up, there's nothing the coach can do at that point, period. You know,
they get beat the same way. Here it is, you've added Arsenal, you've cleaned house from top to bottom. You've got folks like T.O. out of there. You ain't got Patrick Creighton out of there. You done added Dez Bryant to the mix, and you ain't got all these elements. You think you got the bomb team, and you think you got the dream season, but there's nothing. You know what I mean? There's nothing, man. I mean, there's nothing. All of what happened a year ago, 2 years ago, means nothing right now. Trust. You know what I mean? It means nothing. He's nothing. He gets exposed and beat the same way every time. Not just some oddball bad day, they're having an off day. You know, they'll have a good day and they get beat. They have 40 yards passing and all that and get stomped. I mean, you explain that to me, that's offense. That's offense. And that's the whole coaching staff over there.
It's three phases to the game. That's what the problem is. You know, you could put up all those points, but if you ain't stopping nobody, you know, you could get all those yards, but if you ain't stopping nobody, you know, special teams can't just let people go out there and run touchdowns on you. You know, you can't do all that. It's three phases to the game.
Right.
Let's see how he does in all three phases of the game, because to me, I don't think he did a good job on the offensive coordinator side. I mean, personally, what he's doing, anybody can go in there and do. I ain't seen no miraculous plays, no plays he drew up or out of the playbook or nothing. I ain't seen none of that. You know what I mean? I ain't seen none of that nowhere. I've seen no proven games or any proven product out there that shows me he's a good coordinator. He's just average. He's basically average. And once he gets exposed and they put pressure pack on him, he's done. There's no change up in the second half. There's nothing. Same old. Week after week, same plays. I mean, they ain't hard to beat. You know, just pressure pack. They run the same plays. The playbook ain't changed.
Right. Well, that's one of the good things about the NFL. Every Sunday, you're going to find something brand new. And like we said before on the show last Tuesday, it's a brand new season right now. We get to watch the Cowboys in a whole new light right now. We get to analyze them totally different than we had before in the past, this past season. Regardless of them being 1-7, they're really playing an 8-game season right now. So we get to watch, you look for everything again. They get a lot more interesting right now as well, too. If you guys are tuning in late to the show, go back and listen to the show, the beginning part of the show we had on Bill Ingram from HoopsWorld.com. He's a huge contributor to ESPN. He's an executive NBA editor. He was on talking about the Mavs, talking about the Heat, a lot of stories going on in the NBA right now. So go back and download the show or listen to the show live online. If you need help finding the show, go to rsportsradio.blogspot.com, and you can find the show if you listen to us for the first time. We're on every Tuesday and Thursday night from 9:30 to 11, tune in live to the show. And tomorrow night is going to be a special show because we're going to be broadcasting live from the American Airlines Center when the Mavs take on the 76ers. We'll have some locker room audio for you guys as well. We've got an interview from Roddy Boudoir that we're going to play during their broadcast as well, or maybe save it for next Tuesday. We'll try to get that figured out. But do stay tuned in to the show. It's been a great show. I want to thank everyone for calling in. Thanks to Bill Ingram for coming on to the show as well. And we'll see you guys on Tuesday, same time, same channel, where we talk about a Cowboy win. So see you guys on Tuesday.
Next.